जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवाजक आचार्य श्रोत श्रोता श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा। नारायणम नमस्कृत्य नरम चैवम नरोत्तमम देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जये मुदीरे। नष्टे प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रोत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम Canto 8, Chapter 11, Text Number 7. The chapter is entitled, King Indra Annihilates the Demons. Shri Bali Ruvacha Sangrame Vartamananam Kala Chodita Karmanam कीर्तिर्जयो अजयो मृत्यु सर्वेषां स्युरनुक्रमान् संग्रामे वर्तमानानां कालचोदिता कर्मणां कीर्तिर्जयो अजयो मृत्यु सर्वेषां शयो अनुक्रमा संग्रामे वर्तमानानां कालचोदित कर्मणां कीर्तिर्जयो अजयो मृत्यु सर्वेषां शयो अनुक्रमा। श्री बालेरुवाच संग्रामे वर्तमानानां कालचोदिता कर्मणां कीर्तिर्जयो जयो मृत्यु सर्वेषां सयुरनुक्रमा संग्रामे वर्तमानानां काले चोदित कर्मणां कीर्ति जयो जयो मृत्यु सर्वेषां शयुरनुक्रमान्। श्रीबालिरुवाच संग्रामे वर्तमानानां कालचोदिता कर्मणां कीर्तिर्जयो जयो मृत्यु सर्वेषां अयुरनुक्रमान्। श्रीबलिरुवाच संग्रामे वर्तमानानां काले चोदित कर्मणां कीर्तिर्जयो अजयो मृत्यु सर्वेषां सयुरनुक्रमान् श्री बालिरुवाच संग्रामे वर्तमाननां कालचोदित कर्मणां कीर्तिर्जयो अजयो मृत्यु सर्वेषां सयुरनुक्रमान् श्री बालिरुवाच बलि महाराज सेड संग्रामे इन द बैटलफील्ड वर्तमानानाम ऑफ ऑल पर्सन्स प्रेजेंट हियर कालचोदिता इन्फ्लुएंस्ड बाय द कोर्स ऑफ टाइम कर्मणाम for persons engaged in fighting or any other activities kirti reputation jaya victory ajaya defeat mrityu death sarvesham of all of them siu must be done anukrama One after another. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Bali Maharaj replied, All those present on this battlefield are certainly under the influence of eternal time. And according to their prescribed activities, they are destined to receive fame, victory, defeat, and death one after another. Purport. If one is victorious on the battlefield, he becomes famous. And if one is not victorious, but is defeated, he may die. Both victory and defeat are possible, whether on such a battlefield as this or on the battlefield of the struggle for existence. Everything takes place according to the laws of nature. Prakritrehe kriya kriyamanani gune karmanani sarvashaha. Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 3, Text Number 27. Since everyone, without exception, is subject to the modes of material nature, whether one is victorious or defeated, he is not independent, but is under the control of material nature. Bali Maharaj, therefore, was very sensible. He knew that the fighting was arranged by eternal time, and that under time's influence, one must accept the results of one's own activities. Therefore, even though Indra threatened that he would now kill Bali Maharaj by releasing the thunderbolt, Bali Maharaj was not at all afraid. This is the spirit of a Kshatriya, Yuddhe Chapi Apalaya Nam. A Kshatriya must be tolerant in all circumstances, especially on the battlefield. Thus, Bali Maharaj asserted that he was not at all afraid of death, although he was threatened by such a great personality as the King of Heaven. Om Agyantimarandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataruvasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayaivacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Bali Maharaj replied, All those present on this battlefield are certainly under the influence of eternal time, and according to their prescribed activities, they are destined to receive fame, victory, defeat, and death. One after another. So there are a couple of things to note in this particular verse. Of course, we know that it is a continuation of the battle between demons and demigods after the nectar which came out of churning the ocean was distributed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form as Mohini Murti. So demons were very much aggrieved that they didn't get the nectar at all, so they were really trying to take it out on demigods. So here Bali Maharaj, or Bali, is addressed as Shri Bali. So that is, Shukdev Goswami is giving a lot of respect to Bali. And of course, everywhere we are saying Bali Maharaj. So we are addressing the king of demons as Shri and Maharaj, which is normally not the case. In case of Hiranyakashipu, who was the great-grandfather of Bali Maharaj, we always say Hiranyakashipu. We never say Maharaj Hiranyakashipu or Shri Hiranyakashipu. But here we are saying Shri Bali Maharaj. So we have to understand why we are doing that. That's one thing. Then the second important thing in this particular verse is that Bali Maharaj is on the battlefield and he is maintaining his equilibrium. He is not getting very agitated or, you know, lost his cool even after getting threats from a personality like King Indra, the king of Haman. And finally, what do we take home from this, the purport of Srila Prabhupada? So, in our scriptures, there are personalities described as Mahajans. So, Mahajans are the personalities who are self-realized, who have truly and correctly understood the message of the religion. And they are practicing, not only they have understood it, but they are practicing those principles of religion fearlessly. So they are called Mahajan. So in our scriptures, we know that they are 12 Mahajans. So does everybody, let us try to see who they are. Okay, so let's start from Manu. Yes. Yeah, that's good. Yes, say loudly. Kapila, yes. Prahlad Maharaj. Four Kumars. Shiva. Janak. Prahlad Maharaj, he said already. Yamraj. Shukdev Goswami. Brahma. And Manu and Bhisham Dev. Yeah. So if we start in the right order, I mean, the names are all there, but the right order is Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Four Kumaras, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Janak, Bhisham, Bali Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami, and Yamraj. So these are the personalities. One, yes. Yeah, that's right. So, these are the personalities who have understood the principles of religion. They have understood the message of the Lord and they are practicing them. Now, Srila Prabhupada says in his lectures that these are the people whose instructions we can follow blindly. They really understand religion, and if something, some message is coming from them, some instructions are coming from personalities such as Mahajans, then those messages or those instructions can be followed. Normally, Srila Prabhupada says that these days the instructions are coming from every Tom, Dick and Harry. Everybody wants to be a Mahajan or pretends to be a Mahajan and gives instructions that this is the way we should act. And this is where most of us go wrong, because we often tend to follow such bogus acharyas, and as a result we get deviated and distracted from our path of devotion. So this is why we are addressing Bali Maharaj as Sri Bali Maharaj and not just Bali. He is a grandson of Prahlad, who was also born in the family of demons, and so was Bali Maharaj. In spite of all that, he has a very, very special place in our scriptures. Why so? As I said, that because he understood the principle of religion correctly. I will just narrate the pastime quickly. In the battle, finally he was able to defeat the demigods, and he became the king of all the three lokas. So demigods were of course worried, and they approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Krishna is always so compassionate and favorable to his devotees that he said, okay, I will get you your kingdom back. So he appeared as Lord Vamandev. So Vamandev was very, very short. He appeared as a Brahman. In Bali Maharaj was doing a sacrifice after his victory. And at the time of sacrifice, when the yajna was undergoing, the Lord appeared as Vamandev in the dress of a Brahman, dressed as a Brahman. And he wanted something from Bali Maharaj. So Shukracharya, who is the spiritual master of demons, he was able to see that this is not an ordinary Brahman. He is Vishnu. And he is here to play some trick. So he warned Bali Maharaj that just be very careful before you make any promise. Because here it is not a short Brahman. Here is Vishnu. And you know Vishnu is quite famous for playing tricks. So be careful. So in other words, Srila Prabhupada says that he was giving a message to Bali Maharaj not to make any promise or not to agree to give anything to Vamandev. But Bali Maharaj was so, he's true to the knowledge which he has gained or what he had heard or read in the scriptures, that if Vishnu comes, everything belongs to Vishnu, and if Vishnu comes and is asking for something, one shouldn't say no at all. Because that's the best thing one can do, offer something to Lord Vishnu. So he said, he addressed Shukracharya that, you being my spiritual master, you have always told me that when Vishnu comes, we should offer everything. But here you are instructing me not to do that. I'm not going to follow your instructions. Even if it means I am creating a big sin by not following the instructions of my own spiritual master, but because I'm going to do it for Vishnu, I don't care. So when we rest is, of course, we all know that Lord Vamandev wanted land worth 3 steps. So in those 3 steps, he took back all what Bali Maharaj had conquered and gave it back to demigods. And Lord Vishnu was so happy with this act of Bali Maharaj that he gave him a very, very special place. And that's why we address him as Sri Bali Maharaj. So that's the pastime about Bali. Now, the other thing which Bali Maharaj is saying in his, Krishna Prabhupada is saying the purport, is it is not only the battlefield such as this which is being described here. There is a battlefield of the struggle for existence. So if we try to understand that, all of us are fighting that battle. We are, though we are sitting in this temple or going out for book distribution or leading our lives as grihasthas, but we are all in that battle where we are struggling for our existence. And we have to see how in that battle we become victorious, how we can get over the evil forces and become, you know, carry on the right path. So the demigods were very fortunate that the Lord arranged to get them nectar, amrit, and because of that they were very, very powerful and young, and you know, they will not get sick and so on. So they were fighting very vigorously. So how does that reflect in our lives? How does, when we are fighting these forces, or we are in this battlefield, how do we act? How do we behave? That is very important. So I was listening to a class, and it says, depending on in which mode of nature we are, we will act accordingly. So it says that for those who are in mode of ignorance, basically, for them, what is nectar? Sleeping, going to a bar for a drink, that is nectar for them. For those who are in mode of passion, money is equivalent to nectar. Jitendra Prabhu says so many times, money is more important than honey. Okay, something to that effect. Yeah. Yes. So, why do we say that the honey is more important? Money is more important than honey, because honey will only satisfy the taste of your tongue. Correct? It gives you sweet taste and it will satisfy your tongue. But with money, a person feels that I can buy all what is required to satisfy all my senses, not only just my tongue, but I can buy everything else and I can satisfy all my senses with that. So a man or a human being in mode of passion will always be running after money. Then we have mode of goodness. So a person who is in mode of goodness, what is nectar for him? The holy name of the Lord. So about the holy name of Lord, Sanatana Goswami has defined or has given some characteristics of the holy name of the Lord. So he says it is Param Amritam. So nectar is Amrit, or Amrit is nectar. But Sanatana Goswami says that the holy name of the Lord is Param Amritam. That is the supreme nectar. So it is even a stage higher than the nectar we have been talking about, the nectar which demigods got to taste. But we are talking here of holy name, which is Param Amritam, supreme nectar. Then he says, it is Bhushanam. Bhushanams are ornament. So, you know, we all try to decorate our bodies with different kind of ornaments. We decorate the deities with ornaments. And if we remember the holy name of the Lord, that is nothing less than Bhushanam. And then he says, it is eternal. So it is not something which will lose its value. It is something which is always going to be very, very valuable. So we should remember the holy name of the Lord. Then, so now we know out of, you know, we need to get the nectar, and what is nectar for us. Now the question is, how do we get this nectar? We know, you know, our acharyas have revealed to us that in Kali Yuga, nectar is the holy name. Now, we should look for it, isn't it? Now, the demigods were fighting demons and they were killing each other just for a drop of nectar. Now we know that it is available even in Kali Yuga, so we should really go and look for it. Now, though we know that the nectar is available, but again, to get this nectar, we also have to fight a battle, like we saw in the previous chapter. The demigods and demons were fighting. Now, who is our enemy when we are there in this battle? Because it's very important, when you are going for a battle, it's very important to know your enemy. Only then you can plan accordingly and try to defeat them. If you don't know your enemy, then the chances are that, you know, your enemy will be able to defeat you. So our enemies are envy, pride, lust, false ego, illusion. These are our enemies. And they have a very strong security guard. And who is that security guard? Our mind. So our mind is trying to protect all these things, that they don't go away from us. We are not able to defeat these things. So Prabhupada says, mind can be your best friend or the worst enemy. So depending on how we are leading our lives, our mind can act as our worst enemy, in which case we can never defeat all these enemies we were talking about, lust, greed, false ego, etc. We can never defeat them until and unless we have control on our mind. Now, in the previous verses, when Indra was threatening Bali Maharaj, he had a very, very potent and powerful weapon. And what was that? His thunderbolt. So he said in the previous verse that today, I'll just read out because some of you were not there yesterday. So he says, today with my thunderbolt, which has hundreds of sharp edges, I, the same powerful person, shall sever your head from your body. Although you can produce so much jugglery through illusion, you are endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. Now try to exist on this battlefield with your relatives and friends. So he had thunderbolt as a very, very potent weapon with which he was threatening Bali Maharaj. So we also have weapons. We have also provided weapons, but we can use them to defeat these enemies. And they are our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya. They give us a guarantee that if we are using those weapons properly, definitely we will be the winner. So what are those weapons, or our soldiers, let us put it that way. Since we are talking of a battle, let's talk about soldiers. So what are our soldiers? Bhagavatam. So now we can practice Bhagavatam, which means humility, tolerance, association of devotees, servicing at the lotus feet of the Lord, and being respectful to others. So in other words, if we follow instructions of Lord Chaitanya, the third verse of Shikshastakam, Tranarapi Sunichena, Tarur Ami Sahishnuma, Amanina Manadena, Kirtanya Sadahari. So if we chant the holy name of the Lord in that mode, our weapon, our thunderbolt, will be very, very powerful. And it can easily defeat all the evil forces of demons like envy, anger, etc. It can easily do that. So in our situation, we can easily win this battle by chanting the holy name of the Lord. So let's do that together. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I would like to stop here and invite comments, corrections, questions, clarifications.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were mentioning that something about the most material nature, I forgot specifically what, but my question is related to the fact that, I forgot what your statement was, but the Gita says the modes fluctuate, the modes of material nature fluctuate between us, because sometimes we could be in a mode of goodness, but that's very easy when everyone's nice to us. Mm-hmm. But when someone's not nice to us, then the mode of ignorance, destruction, you know, I want to destroy you. Mm-hmm. So my question essentially is that when we identify as, because Brahmanas are supposed to be in the mode of goodness and Kshatriyas, etc., naturally when you expect something and don't receive it, you're going to be very disappointed, upset. So when we identify as, let's say, a royal Brahmana, now a Brahmana is naturally the highest order of society, or if you're a professor, but if you expect it, we respect it, but that we see that doesn't always happen. And even if you're a Sudra, you know, you might be treated like a royal Brahmana, like Lord Chaitanya treated Ramananda Roy like a royal Brahmana, even though he was a Sudra. So my question is that we see that all the great Brahmanas and all the great saints, they think themselves even lower than Sudras. They never expect respect. So how can we develop this consciousness within our mind that, you know, like Lord Chaitanya says, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Sudra, I'm not a this, I'm a servant, etc. of the Lord. So how can we develop this consciousness? Because when we're associating with devotees, naturally we expect everyone to be nice to us, but that's not going to be the case all the time. So,
Develop that mood by being in mood of service. So if we develop a mood of serving others, if we know that others are superior to me and I respect them that way without expecting anything in return from them, without expecting any respect in return, then slowly I will develop that mood. Now, in practical terms, I was once hearing a class and somebody asked a similar question. So there are two practical suggestions. There were two practical suggestions given. One was book distribution. So he said, when you go out on book distribution, you really learn humility. You really learn that. So I'm sure those who are regular, you know, in this field, they would agree with it. The other one is you can take menial services in the temple. For example, cleaning the toilets every Sunday. When Sunday feast, everybody is here. The toilets get dirty very soon, very fast, because people are not using them properly. Take up the service, you know, clean the toilets. Now, these are we are laughing because, you know, oh my God, what is he talking about? But these are the practical suggestions given because somebody asked exactly a similar question. And then we will know how should we be respecting others. Once we respect others, once we are not expecting anything in return, we will gradually develop that mood. Like you said, if we do not get what we want, we get angry. And this is exactly what Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport here. And as a matter of fact, the whole of Bhagavad Gita is full of that, practically. So here, Srila Prabhupada is saying that a Kshatriya must be tolerant in all circumstances, especially on the battlefield. So it is applicable not only to Kshatriyas, but to everybody, that they have to be tolerant, they have to be respectful. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says very clearly that whether you are in whether you are successful or you are a failure, you have to, you know, you shouldn't be very happy when you are successful, and you don't have to be in distress when you are not so successful. And that's the mood which we have to develop. And by being in association of Vaishnavas, we can develop these qualities. This is very, very helpful also. So these are the few things which we can do. Now, we you know, we celebrate the appearance day of our acharyas, previous acharyas. We observe their disappearance days. We talk about them. We hear about them. Why do we do it? We get good prasadam, of course. That day we have a feast, so that is when and Manoj Prabhu makes a very nice cake. So that is, of course, the bonus we get. But what is the main reason for us to observe these days or celebrate these days? Because by hearing about the lives of these acharyas, we can develop those qualities. We can, first of all, identify the qualities these personalities had and see how I could inculcate them in my life. Yes, sir. You know, your parents will tell you only about good things about others, and also they will tell about the negative thing in other people or other personalities. And the reason they do it, because they want you to decide that what kind of qualities I should inherit, what kind of qualities I should bring in my own life. And that is exactly what we do every day when we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam message in the morning. It is because our acharyas wanted, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to know about demons, he wanted to know about the devotees, and he wanted to know what we should do in our lives. And Srila Prabhupada has developed our curriculum, if I may say that word. You know, in a school when you go, there's a curriculum, because they want all the students to follow a particular pattern, and then they expect that at the end of the year, they will graduate. So Srila Prabhupada has structured a curriculum for us. If we follow that curriculum, we will be right on the path of bhakti, and we will not really be distracted. So our lives have been made very, very simple if we follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Okay, Prabhu? Suhal Prabhu wants to add something.
Hare Krishna. I just have an observation. Indra and Bali Maharaj are facing right now, and Indra, when facing Bali Maharaj, you know, he's very chivalrous. How do you say chivalrous?
Chivalrous.
Yeah. Whatever. Chivalrous, yeah. He's saying, "You rascal," and this and that, and you know, he is also, although he was just saved by Lord Vishnu, he was being crushed by Bali Maharaj's display of mystic powers. He, after being saved by Lord Vishnu, of being completely and utterly defeated, he stands in front of Bali Maharaj and say, "We are the masters of mystic powers. You're a rascal. You're an ignorant, blah, blah." And he say, insulting Bali Maharaj and saying, "Now, you know, you're going to take, you know, we're going to completely defeat you." So he's very secure and taking. And Bali Maharaj, on the other hand, he's very equipoised. He's basically same philosophy. Actually,
yeah.
You may be victorious, you may be defeated. So he's replying with, you know, a very equipoised philosophy and detachment. Very, very impressive when you start to see the response of Bali Maharaj. In contrast with Indra, you know, I'm thinking, wow, you just got, I mean, if you're going to say something to Bali Maharaj, say, "Just see, Krishna save us, you rascal, because you don't take shelter of Krishna. Krishna is the master of all mystic powers. What is your mystic powers?" You know, like that, if you're going to tell someone to a demon, you know, who is out of control. But Indra is just, I mean, with all respect to Indra, you know, but in contrast with Bali Maharaj, it seems, you know, Bali Maharaj is pretty amazing, his response. Indra is a little, like, you know, I don't know, proud.
It's very interesting, your observation. There are two things, again, just like what I said earlier, that this is the reason why Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan and Indra is not. because it's very clear. You made it even better, clearer than what I was trying to do.
Yeah, with all due respect to Indra, but you know, this is Bali Maharashtra.
We know that Indra was cursed by the spiritual master of demigods. Because once when I think he was in his assembly and Brihaspati, the spiritual master of demigods, he entered there, he appeared, and Indra was so much engrossed in, I think, watching the dance of Apsaras, the heavenly damsels, that he did not get up from his seat and pay respect to Brihaspati. So Brihaspati was very upset, and you know, he was a little bit upset with this, and he cursed the demigods, that they will be defeated by demons and they will lose whatever they have practically. So because of the curse, the demigods got, or Lord, we never say Lord Indra. Okay, sometimes we say Indra, but we never say Indra Maharaj, because he was, for somehow, didn't come up to that level of being called Maharaj. So they were losing again and again whatever they had. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, being so compassionate, he was always helping them out. And this is all, you know, when I read these pastimes, this question comes always in my mind also, that the demigods are the devotees. And, you know, Krishna, being happy with their services, had given them those positions. And every time there is a battle between demigods and demons, demons are always victorious. And then Supreme Personality of Godhead comes and helps them out. So this is another message. Actually, I wanted to say it, but somehow I missed it. This is a very, very important message from these pastimes. And the message is that the devotees of the Lord, it is not that they do not encounter difficulties in life. They sometimes may face more difficult situations than non-devotees. But because they have taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord will always be there to protect them and to save them. So that is the important message which I get from these pastimes, that sometimes people come to the temple, they go for spiritual discourses, and they will come and give donations, and they think that by doing all that, I'm just playing, you know, I'll be very, very safe now. No calamity or no difficult situation will now touch me. No, it doesn't happen. When we look at the lives of the devotees of the Lord, they really pass through very, very difficult situations. We have teachings of Kunti Devi. We know about the lives of Pandavas. All their life, from, you know, they lost their father at a very, very young age. Then they had to live with Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, and all what was done to them. And considering that they were great associates of the Lord, they were great devotees of the Lord, in spite of all that, the difficulties they had to face is amazing. But because being devotees, they were able to pass the tests. That is the real, you know, what we say, you know, there is an exam and you pass the test to graduate. So when a devotee faces difficulties in life, he still doesn't lose his faith and trust in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is, it's basically whatever we know, whatever knowledge we have, when the test comes, the time of test comes, how do we use it? How do we behave at that time? How do we act at that time? That is the most important thing. So, by virtue of being the devotees, we have the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are guaranteed protection by Him. So, this why demigods again and again, they lose and then they go and fight again, they lose and they go and fight again. So it's going on. Any other comments or questions? You can say something more, Prabhu. Money and honey.
You said it all, Prabhu.
Okay, Prabhu.
Actually, there was a class Srila Prabhupada gave a class, and then he said, "Are there any questions?" And then he looked around, and then he said, "Of course not." So, you know, okay. I thought that was kind of amusing.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Hare Krishna.